What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The most incredible phenomenon in sports history simply continues. The Arizona Cardinals have requested permission to interview Steelers offensive coordinator Arthur Smith.
So that's two now. Tennessee is interested.
I'm just speechless on this every year. I'm just speechless. What do they see in Arthur Smith? Please tell me, Bob.
I don't know. I mean, there were some good games for him, but largely more of the same. I mean, the fact that he went to a head coaching position in Atlanta in three straight 7-10 seasons, comes here, and he's just been average at best. I don't look at that as saying, wow, he's what we need as a head coach.
I'm just blown away.
But this whole league,
this,
isn't it about just recycling guys? A lot of guys have been and will continue to be recycled, you know?
All the candidates out there who are so enticing and interesting, and nothing against Arthur, seems like a really good guy. And he's been a, you know, decent coordinator. He's an average coordinator. He rode Derrick Henry's coattails to a job in Atlanta where he failed miserably. And now he's designing running plays for Jonnu Smith. What are we doing? What are the Arizona Cardinals thinking? Why would you waste resources on an interview with Arthur Smith? I guess that's why they're the Cardinals. I don't understand.
I don't understand either. I mean, I understand guys who have a role that a lot of people look at and say, well, he's a coordinator. We can deal with him. He has a good philosophy, run football first, whatever. But as a head coach, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would attain what I think you said at the beginning of this program with the next head coach here. Some CEO type who's very good at understanding things, communicates, motivates. He doesn't strike me as that kind of a guy.
Bob, where did Limits go? Oh, there he is.
He's there.
Limits, what did Josina Anderson say about Tomlin?
Yeah, so I'm going to pull up the full thing that she said. But basically, regarding Mike Tomlin, that there was...
Excuse me, Bob. I just had two pieces of pizza in like 10
burp
seconds.
Or hip, what was that, a hiccup or a burp?
I apologize.
God bless you. But basically what Josina Anderson was indicating, she said, as a league source indicated me over a week ago, and she'll tweet it now, John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin are at the very top of the Dolphins wish list at the moment now. After Tomlin experienced some burnout, that Tomlin, as she tweeted in November, there was a longtime coach that was contemplating a change of scenery, and it was Tomlin, as she's indicated recently. She says, the fact of the matters are, league sources heard that Tomlin was contemplating leaving Pittsburgh even before the season started, adding, there's been a belief that Tomlin did not feel appreciated with contingents around the city believing he should be fired. Quote, I would say this has been building gradually for the last 3 years, the source opined to Josina Anderson.
You know, he can't have been surprised at that development. I had to laugh, and I wrote about this, Aaron Rodgers getting on his soapbox the other day. Oh, it wasn't like this when I came into the league, and I pointed out all the successful coaches who were in the league when he got in, who were then fired. And I just saw a Sports Illustrated cover from 1988 today, Bob, with Chuck Knoll and Tom Landry on the cover of Sports Illustrated,
yep.
And the headline was "Under Fire." Yep. Have two legendary coaches lost their touch?
I think this
is the way it's always been. When you don't win the biggest games anymore for a long time, you're under fire. Mike Tomlin not only hasn't won the biggest games for a long time, he's been blown out in the majority of them for almost a decade. Almost the amount of time that Jimmy Johnson, John Madden, Vince Lombardi, George Allen, and the like had in their entire careers were that long. He's been blown out of virtually every playoff game. So,
and I think what Rodgers is probably referring to, without acknowledging what he was referring to, is that it's just there are too many ways now. Back then, there weren't ways. There were no social media. Nobody, you heard it, but you didn't hear it up close and personal in your face with DMs and everything else. So now you're hearing it that way. That's what's changed. Nothing has changed with the process. I think people are always under fire.
Always.
You know, coaches are hired to be fired, essentially. They are. It doesn't matter who you are, when it occurs. But in keeping what she said there, I think the burnout factor, however you want to encapsulate it, had a lot to do with this.
Burnout coming in many forms.
In many forms.
I mean, I'm sure that away from the field, he was getting messages that nobody would ever want to get in their lives, and right. that they were coming in big batches.
And I think that's part of it that leads to the stress.
And then in the stadium, people chanting to fire him. And I don't blame people chanting to fire him. I don't. I don't think I would participate in that.
Yeah,
but we had reached the point where it was just so obviously time. Let's bring on a man to talk about that, Bob. By the way, we're celebrating our Marconi tonight, our Marconi Award at a certain steakhouse. And I've worn the same jacket twice in 3 days. Party foul or no, Bob?
It's a nice jacket, so no. I also believe that if you're in front of a new audience, although this would not qualify as that's the same people you see every day, that why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's a good jacket.
Exactly.
You know.
Limits, party foul or no?
See you twice.
No, I don't think so. I think it's fine.
Jackets don't need to be washed when we wear them, do they?
I don't believe so.
Not for a while, unless you spill something on it or something like that.
I agree. Well, thank you for confirming that as a suit connoisseur. I still haven't washed my wedding suit from 18 years ago, and I still wear it once every 3 years. Is that okay, Bob?
Yeah. Right. I do this. I mean, there are things that as long as they fit you. The biggest concern is, have you outgrown the pants or is the suit too tight?
Kabali, how many suits do you own? Stephen A. Smith told us the other day he owns 43, which is right around where Bob is. Limits and I each have one. How about you?
Zero.
I figured, Bob.
I got a funeral suit. Does that count? The one you wear to funerals?
A suit's a suit, Bob, right?
Yeah, you can wear it anywhere.
Yeah.
So you wear it to funerals. That's the only time you pull it out.
Yeah, I think that counts for sure.
It's like going to a black tie event. You may only go to one a year, but it's the same one. You wear it every year.
Sure.
You could double as a wedding suit. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So, big boy, and we have, why isn't he on video?
Because he's going down to the press conference.
He's going to the art press conference.
I'm standing outside the press gate right now at Acrisure Shore Stadium.
You're very dedicated. The press
Art
conference
Rooney.
Is at the stadium, huh?
Yeah, it's at the
stadium.
Yeah,
Rooney today. Will be talking here in about 30 minutes or so.
What do you expect him to say?
Oh, knowing Art, probably not a lot, but I'm sure that he's not going to get into much of concerning why Mike left or what Mike told him, why he decided to step down. It'll probably be more about the process of here moving forward and what they're looking for and timelines to that stance rather than anything else. But Art's normally pretty, for a part, he's open. So I think that's the way he'll go. I just think he'll just look from this point forward, thank Mike and stuff like that. I don't think it's going to be anything that's breaking news where a pony screams at the top of his head how happy he is when he hears what Art says, you know, stuff like that.
So
that was me taking a veiled shot of the breaking news yesterday, if you didn't want to. You didn't understand it.
Or a not so veiled shot, Bob, it sounded like. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I just find it very strange that people celebrate stuff like that.
I mean, isn't everybody entitled to their own reaction?
Oh, it's fine. That's fine. I just find it kind of weird.
Okay.
But that's me.
I'm not a fire. I don't go to games chanting fire or anything. That's not my makeup. I wouldn't do it. I understand why people do it. I certainly do. They have a right to do it, but that's not me.
Well, what's the first question on your mind today? What are you most curious about? For me, was Art as shocked as everybody else, or did he know this was coming? Because it sure came fast after the last game.
Yeah, I'm sure that will be brought up, and I'm sure you won't get a straight answer about that. So that's definitely an answer you would want to know because it happened so quickly. I mean, this thing had to be in the making, or this had to be made up in his mind for weeks, months, right? You don't sleep 6 hours overnight after a loss that you think you're going to go in winning and say, okay, I'm done. So this had to be, and does he tell him? I doubt it. I wouldn't think so, but I don't know if he's going to really divulge any of that information whatsoever. But if Mike had a thought of I'm stepping down after the season regardless, to me, the guy that's covered him for 19 years. It's funny way of showing it because there's really not much that I've seen differently with him, just in my own personal experience, that was from, you know, 10 years ago to now, the preparation, all stuff like that.
Well, why do you think this happened then?
His job at all.
What do you think the story is?
He looks tired. I didn't see that either, man. I just didn't see it.
Okay, then what happened in your educated opinion? Why did he do this?
That is a good question. I don't think anybody has the answer to that right now. I don't have a good answer of why he decided to right now. I mean, everything pointed toward maybe next year, right? The 20 years, the round number, the passing Chuck Knoll, the contract status. So maybe he was. Maybe he was just hiding it, man. Maybe he was just burned out and needed to step back a little bit.
Part of you wonder if he was pushed?
I don't. Nah. I didn't get that feeling. I don't get that feeling that he was pushed out whatsoever. Maybe. Now, because he wouldn't have talked with Art about any of this, say, contract situation of saying, hey, Mike, we're not picking up your options or you're going to be a lame duck guy. He wouldn't even broach that topic with Mike until after the season. I mean,
I agree with that.
At least that would have made some sense, right? Hey, I don't want to be a lame duck guy, so I'm gone. And we'll make it sound like I'm just stepping down. But I would not anticipate that that was even the conversation that was made yet.
Especially they won the division, as awkwardly as that was. They win that, and if they win a game, you know, they're on a little bit of a roll. So I don't think that even was – it's not the way that they do business, and nor should they if, you know, they're trying to go through a playoff run. So I agree with Mark, and I said it to you, Joe, before. I think this was a buildup of a lot of things.
That still leaves a lot of questions.
Certainly it does.
What's your best working theory then, big boy? Why did he do this? Was the fans turning on him? Was it burnout? What was it?
You know, it could be. I mean, if I'm just shooting from the hip here.
Shoot from the hip.
I'm just telling you, I would think that part of, you know, the constant wanting him out, he needs to be fired. Maybe not from the fans, not what we heard at the Buffalo game and partly what we heard the other night, but maybe that was affecting his family, his kids, and his wife. That's the only thing I could think of that would make sense that, hey, I shouldn't have to let my family go through something like this, so this is the time I just need to step aside. I don't see him tired, man. If he was tired, you know what? After the season, take a vacation. Don't go scouting and hanging at dive bars in Florida to take different players to dinners, you know, if you're that tired. So that's the only working theory I would have, that maybe it affected his family to a point where he needed to step in and say, okay, I need to step back.
And I think that's all part of whatever burnout is. It represents a lot of different things to different people. And that's what I've been saying. It's not just one specific incident. It's just a buildup of things for all these years. It's rare to get a guy as a head coach this long in a cauldron that is the NFL and the pressure cooker that comes with that. But Bob,
you've been around 40 years. You're not burned out.
Oh, so far,
Bob, I can't help but think there's something more at play here other than just the guy decided 3 weeks ago or a month ago, I'm burned out.
Yeah, do you think he owes us an explanation?
What, Mark?
I don't think he owes us an explanation.
No, I didn't say that, but that doesn't stop me from wondering. Would he have been fired? Would he have been fired, and was Art going to pick up that option this year?
I don't think Art would have picked up the option. No, that's just personal opinion. But I don't think he would have.
Well, maybe Tomlin knew that.
Potentially, he was assuming that, but. I think, honestly, I mean, we look at this from, you know, a over-scoping view here. He might have done Art a favor because now, you know, they can move on with the coach without the owner looking like he brought down the hammer on him, too. So,
and he also has a possibility of getting some compensation in this whole thing, too.
Yeah, that can be significant. I mean, I'm sure you guys looked in what Sean Payton got, and if somebody's calling me, if it's Miami or whoever it is, Arizona, I'm saying, you see this Sean Payton number? That's where we'll start. And
which was a first and second round pick, correct?
First and second, and they also in return gave a third back. So,
but yeah, yeah,
first
I mean,
and second
start,
are the most
right?
important things.
Man,
things get more expensive by years, so yes.
Man, Denver is sort of amazing as a little sidelight here. Everybody thought they mortgaged their franchise on Mr. Unlimited, plus they're giving away draft picks for Sean Payton, and look at him now with the great Bo Nix bomb.
Well, yeah, that's right. That goes to show if you draft well, when you have opportunities to draft well, you draft well.
And honestly, I think the Steelers over the past 2 or 3 years have all the pieces in place of having 2 or 3 really good drafts. So, I mean, not where it matters the most, though, the quarterback, but I think the pieces around, for the most part, have been a solid couple drafts here.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is why, and Mark, I'd like to get your opinion on this, too, why I look at this as a really plum job. Some might look at it differently, saying well, there's no franchise quarterback, you're not guaranteed of getting one. I get that. But they also have an offensive line that's young and emerging and got better, I thought, as the year went on. They need to figure it out, but it's going to take time. And I think whoever would want this job, and there'll be a lot of them, know that they're going to be granted time, lots of time, to figure it all out. So that gives them some breathing room, whereas other, you know, franchises don't necessarily subscribe to that. Right or wrong, however it works out, I think that's an attractive thing for a potential
yeah,
coach.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to think that, I mean, at minimum a decade, right? Hey, you have chances to work things out, and you're right. They got some pieces in place on that offensive line. And before you even want to address a young quarterback, you want to get those guys in place so this guy, whoever you bring in, has a fighting chance of being able to succeed rather than have an offensive line that, you know, sort of like what we saw from the Chargers this year. I know they were banged up, but the guy's just getting pummeled to death. So I think that's a very attractive job. But once again, a very attractive job is, man, we know that this isn't Cleveland, and you're not going to get fired in a year and a half after losing, you know, to the Steelers in week 17.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how that plays out moving forward. We're going to have to see how. Yeah, you have to win right away. Not right away, but you better win soon. You're not just going to get a decade. This guy's not walking into a prime Ben Roethlisberger like Tomlin was. That's A. And B, I disagree with both of you that this is some sort of plum job. There's no quarterback. There's an aging star base. They go the shortcut route on staff. And there's questionable facilities on top of all of that. This is not some kind of plum job right now in the NFL, I don't think.
I think it is viewed that way by coaches who know what they have to deal with.
Absolutely. The logo.
Well, I just think they know.
The logo.
Regardless of that,
I'm just telling
they
you,
need
the
a quarterback.
Logo.
They have money to spend, and it could very well happen within the next couple of
years.
All
right, let's address
I'm
those.
I'm just saying.
No quarterback.
Right.
And that's problematic,
that,
right?
That could actually be an asset to them moving forward.
Your best players are in their 30s and are shells of themselves.
And then you get a gauge on him, and
Will
then you draft someone in 2027.
How about the fact that you have Cam Hayward at the end of his career?
I agree.
T.J. Watt on a horrible contract. D.K. Metcalf
overpaid.
On a horrible contract.
Absolutely.
Jalen Ramsey, an aging player as well. Your star base is aging. You have no quarterback. And you have an owner who likes to shortcut the staff. What about those three things?
Well, I think the owner would have to be open to whatever a new coach wants. And I think it's going to be possible to do that. You know, everything changes, but one thing that remains the same is that they're going to be patient. I think more than anything else I can tell a potential coach is they will be patient. And if you get if the draft works in your favor, and it will if they have, let's say next year is just an average season and they draft in the top 10. Right?
Yeah.
So in 2027, they do have an opportunity to get that quarterback. If you have pieces in place offensively, you can see a turnaround rather substantially, I think. So
I just think for me, there's a lot more that goes into when I'm weighing a job with whether they'll be patient with me.
Why are so many people already calling then?
Are they not calling the New York Giants?
Okay, they have a quarterback.
The Miami Dolphins?
No, I'm just saying.
There's only 32 of these things.
Right.
And there's only a certain number of them open, like 8 or 9,
right,
whatever
it
is.
If you go to Arizona, you may be gone in 2 years, and then all of a sudden your coaching career hits a pothole that you may not ever get out of as a head coach.
Maybe.
Well, you can't discount the fact that they've had 3 coaches in 57 years being attracted to people. You just can't. That would be very attractive to join that list of Noel, Cowher, Tomlin. regardless of what's surrounding it.
You better win, I would say. Cowher won right away. Chuck Knoll walked into a massive rebuild, and Tomlin had Ben. So you think if this turns into Cleveland over the next 5 years, Art will be saying, okay, 3-year contract extension, even though you've won 5 games a year?
No. No.
I think you better win.
It gets him more than just a year or 2 years. You're going to get the full length of that first contract, I believe, to do what you have to do.
That's a selling point, their patience. Yeah. But there's a lot that's not a selling point. A lot.
If they get a good quarterback,
you disagree with that, Mark?
Franchise quarterback
well,
in 2 years.
You look at it as DK Metcalf as a liability, but they might look at it as they can unlock something with him. Same thing with
like what DK that he can Walker. Catch the ball in big situations and won't punch people in blue wigs.
You're just being very short-sighted here.
Short-sighted.
I mean, if I'm coming into a situation where I have a DK Metcalf and TJ Watt, I'm pretty excited if I'm a head coach.
TJ Watt's on the back. TJ Watt's on the back nine of his career on a giant contract that never should have been signed.
Honestly, let's think about this for a second. What did the first thing Mike Tomlin do when he came in here? Said bye-bye Joey Porter, right?
Yeah.
What else did he do? Him and Fanick had gotten a little bit of a dispute over a contract, and within a year – he was gone.
Mike Tomlin walked into a generational quarterback in his prime and a quarterback who's mostly responsible for this non-losing streak that people
what
keep
I'm
talking
saying
about.
Is whoever they bring in could make these changes without any emotional attachment. Okay, you're thinking it's an albatross of a Watt contract. You know, this new guy might say, you know what, I have no ties to TJ Watt. Let's move him. I mean, that's shown to be permitted in the past. Just as recent as the hiring of their new coach.
Do you think do you think they remain a coach-centric organization where the coach can make calls like that?
That's probably a biggest question you need answered today. What are you expecting from this coach? Are you expecting him to be the coach, just a ball coach, or you expect him to be the CEO of the organization?
Right, we talked about
the guy that's involved.
Is that a great question? I would ask Art today, and I'd phrase it just like this. Art, will this new coach have total power over draft picks like your three coaches in the past 60 years have had? And will he have as much power over personnel as Mike Tomlin did, which is as much as any coach probably in NFL history?
But did Mike have that early in his career? Probably has gotten more as the more he's been around, right?
Yeah. I think he had power over. I think they. It's always been my belief, educated belief, that when Chuck Knoll was hired, he was given power over the draft, and that ever since then, this has been an absolutely coach-centric organization, and that didn't change with Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean, another thing is when Tomlin came in, Art said, "Okay, we bring you in. You're a young coach, inexperienced, but you're keeping." This coach, you're keeping this coach, and you're keeping this coach. And we know it's LeBeau, Arians, and some of the other. There was very little turnover in coaching staff, too. Is that the same demand that he's going to tell this new guy?
He doesn't have Dick LeBeau.
Those were different guys. Those were legendary guys.
I know.
But I don't think that'll be the case here.
Let me ask you both this question, honestly. Okay, aside from the patience part, which I agree, you know, if you're a coach, you want to go someplace where you believe you'll have a chance, even if you lose a little bit. Aside from that, what's the most attractive thing about this job? Do you think this is a place you can win pretty soon?
Yeah,
I'm not a meddling owner. It's one thing.
Right, but also the history of the franchise, it plays a role. The culture they talk about, this coach will come in and have to set a standard of his own there. But I also think, as I said, I think their offensive line is emerging as a very good one, which is very important for whoever the next quarterback is. And that quarterback will have to be, within the next 2 years, taken in the draft, whoever it may be. You're not going to solve this by doing what they've done here with musical chairs of quarterbacks. So you have to come up with someone. But in the meantime, I wouldn't be adverse at all to see Will Howard a little bit. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely the offensive line. Some of the younger guys, the Joey Porters, the edge rushers, the Highsmiths, the Herbigs. You still got – it's not like it's an empty cover. Plus, you know, you're coming off a 10-win season. I don't care how you got there. Not too many coaching positions come available fresh off a North AFC North division title in 10-win season. So that has to be attractive to somebody as well, thinking, hey, if I make a tweak here, or add here, or subtraction here, maybe that's all that it needs. There's not a, in my eyes, there's not a total rebuild that needs to happen, even though a total rebuild internally is probably going to happen. Like I said, coaching staff, maybe some personnel, maybe scheme. So there's going to be a lot of change, but I don't think there's going to be a ton of change on the field, though. I mean, at least in people going, you know what I'm saying? I think the players they have in place is a nice core. They just need to figure out some.
You would acknowledge, though, that it's an aging core, at least the stars.
It is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's no guarantee. But they do have Ramsey's back, Jonnu Smith's back, right?
They do have some guys.
Hayward, T.J. Watt.
Listen, if you put Derek Harmon, Keanu Benton, both I thought had, as the season went on, good seasons, especially Harmon for being a disruptor. Those outside linebackers, Joey Porter Jr. looks like a true shutdown guy, and they're going to have to make sure.
There's definitely some young talent,
right?
Too.
And so the last couple of drafts have
addressed
that.
Doesn't every team in the NFL have young talent, though?
Yes, but I'm just saying.
Not if you're 3-14.
Huh?
If you're 3-14 team, there's our Cardinals. If you look at their roster,
yeah, but then
they don't have much.
Yeah, right. But then they get a chance for a franchise quarterback instead of living every year in high end mediocrity. Plus, the Ravens is a pretty attractive job. It's a field goal away from basically being the Steelers' job. And they have a franchise
quarterback.
And they have a franchise quarterback.
Right. That's why that's a very attractive job. And they have
Art
the same
pulling
thing
in right now. Maybe I should just grab him right now and say, Joe Starkey wants to ask you a question.
Do that. We have to go. Are you coming? Oh, you have to go in. Sorry, big boy.
Yeah, he's got a certain press conference here pretty soon.
All right, free association then. 2 minutes. Here we go. Very quickly. T.J. Watt going to get traded?
No.
Aaron Rodgers back?
No.
D.K. Metcalf back?
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey back?
That's an iffy one, but I think, yeah.
Pick your next head coach. Who's it going to be?
A 34-year-old young defensive-minded coach like their last three.
Bob, do you want to ask a quick question?
Shula's 39, so that would, you know, Flores is, no.
It's going to be somebody that's going to come out of left field, I think.
Okay.
So you're going like, who?
Yeah. Have they peeled Sayamalo off the field from the other night yet?
Oh, Joe.
That one rush came after him, man.
I'm afraid of
That's
him.
That's a good
so
defense.
Now, Mark, last thing, though. Seriously, 1 minute. You didn't believe that this was good for the organization. You wrote the other day that this was not needed. You wanted Tomlin back, correct?
I thought he should have one more year. Different between firing and stepping down now. But I think they had enough stuff in place, especially how the quarterback situation is going to pan out here in the offseason with not much in the way of free agency, not much in the way in the draft to bring Aaron Rodgers and try to run it back one more time with this guy. Now it's just a total reset in my mind. I mean, that's the way I look at it. So I would much rather have had him, if he was willing to do it, obviously, come back for another season. And then after that, then you probably would move on. So that's the way I looked at it.
All right. We got to get into this more. Thank you, Mark.
All right, Joe, settle down. You're kind of fired up.
Tell Art I said hello. Mark Cabali, right. Brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel, the region's premier spirit wear and sports uniform provider.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.